I think Dan Hasty, voice of the Tigers High A affiliate of the Midwest League, the West Michigan Whitecaps. He is standing by on the Meyer guest line. How you doing, Daniel?
Hey, good to talk to you, Bill. What's going on?
Not much. Did I see a couple weeks ago, did you go fill in for the Omaha AAA team?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I spent a week out in Omaha, Nebraska, right before it was the cool thing to do when the College World Series rolled around. But when did the Omaha Storm Chasers had a chance to hang out in AAA for a week? It was great.
Are you moving up? Did you get the call up from A-ball, high A to the AAA level?
Yeah, apparently I got my cup of coffee, and then they were like, you know what? No, you should go back to single A. It was fun, though. We had a good time. We had a chance to spend a week together. But you know what? It all worked out great, and they needed some help. And so we got a chance to go out and just provide a little bit of a Band-Aid for them.
Well, you know, it's just a matter of time, Dan. You'll be a Major League play-by-play voice. You work hard. You have a great sound. You understand the game. You get it. Trust me. You'll be a Major League voice one day, and because I'm saying this, I'll get 15% of everything you make at the major league level.
you drive. That's a good deal. I mean, I really don't know the going rate. So, if we're only at 15, let's do this.
Well, you know, one thing, Dan Dickerson needs a partner. This rotating people in for something as big as the Tigers on their radio network, just give them maybe Monroe. I thought he sounded great with Dickerson. Just give him Petrie. Give him, I know they're all doing TV too with Bally Sports Detroit, but give him a regular partner, right? And even somebody that could do the middle innings to give him a break.
Yeah, you know, I think Dan Petrie is exceptional. I think he's really easy to listen to. I think he does a phenomenal job. I've really enjoyed whether he's used in radio or TV. I think he kills it in both fronts. I think he could do either one.
Amen. Totally agree with you. And I Craig Monroe has grown on me. When he first started, I just thought he looked nervous, and he was, you know, going from playing to being an analyst. But now he's really grown and found his niche and his role, and I really like that. So we'll see if Dickerson will get a partner soon. I know one thing Dan Dickerson has enjoyed, and Shep and the crew on Bally Sports Detroit, the impact of Riley Green. I mean, right away. Dan, and I know we talked about this all season. We talked about it in spring training, even when Green got hurt. You can see the guy is a difference maker, and the Tigers are a different team with him in the lineup, hitting and defensively.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this before. I do believe that a player can change the dynamic, and I do think that just the simple presence of somebody, you know, the straw that stirs the drink makes the entire drink taste better. You know, I don't know how much more palatable it is right now. I mean, they're still not winning a lot of games. So, you know, the main problems have not been fixed, but they're slightly more watchable right now. You're at least being able to watch Riley Green make good on the hope and promise. For me, there was zero doubt that he was going to translate to the major league level. So, you know, that there were a few questions when it came to Spencer Torkelson. He's still trying to work out some of the bugs, but in just having watched Riley for so many years now, you just knew that there was no shot that was going to head south. So, look, he's still got some learning to do at that level, but, I mean, I felt at the beginning of spring training that Riley Green was the best hitter in the organization then, and the numbers are starting to reflect that.
And even Green in the lineup immediately, Torkelson, not that they're connected at the hip, but I know, you know, all the articles and everything and Baseball America back in spring training, but even Torkelson, one more good bat in the lineup. And a lot of people don't get this, Dan, and maybe the true baseball fans do, but when you get a guy who can take pitches, a guy who can hit for power, spray the ball all over the field, he enables other hitters in that lineup to see better pitches to hit.
I think so. I think, you know, you get guys on base and you put pressure on guys, and then it's harder to make pitches. I mean, the one thing that is the biggest reason, in my opinion, that the Tigers have struggled in a game-by-game-by-game basis is that the other pitcher is just so flipping comfortable. Like, they have not put any pressure on it. You know, it's always kind of funny in West Michigan because sometimes we get these high school pitchers, and when we talk to them, we're like, hey, you had a kind of a rough day the other day. What happened? And they'll say, oh, well, when I was in high school, I never had to pitch from the set because I struck everybody out. All I did was pitch from the windup. Well, that's kind of what the Tigers offense is doing to these major league pitchers. They're just keeping them in the windup. It's an easy, breezy Sunday afternoon where they're just going and just going one after the other after the other. And that's what's enabling these pitchers to get into a rhythm. And then finally, you put a little bit of pressure. You get a guy or two on base. Now it becomes an actual Major League Baseball game. So that's where the Tigers have really struggled this year. And I think they're starting to at least show some signs of life at some level now that they have Riley Green.
Yeah, and Green just splashes, hitting a little below 300 at 290. And, you know, Austin Meadows, his loss and his hot start, hurt this team. I'm not going to make excuses, but there have been legit excuses. And Baez is starting to heat up here over the last week or so, but they are who they are. The scoreboard and the standings don't lie. And if you're Al Avila, it will be a very interesting summer and rest of the season because you've seen Clemens. He looks like a major leaguer. Obviously, Green does. Torkelson does. Even with his 190 average, I still think the guy doesn't see a lot of great pitches to hit, and learning on the job will be good. So the question is, Dan, if you're Al Avila, because, you know, the rebuild was over, that was announced last spring, right. What do you do if you're the Tigers the rest of this regular season and next offseason to really convince people that 2023 could be the year you push for a playoff spot?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of mentioned it, and you kind of led up to that. They've had some bad breaks their way this year. You know, the way they constructed this lineup, I'm sure they didn't expect Austin Meadows to have zero major league home runs. I'm sure they didn't expect Robbie Grossman to have one or two home runs. I mean, guys have been underperforming as much as they were, I don't know, overperforming last year or overachieving last year. So, you know, I think they just simply need water to find its level. I think you can't expect guys like Eric Haas to have 25 home runs, but I think you can safely pencil him in for 15, maybe 18 home runs in a season. And he's not provided that. But there are so many other guys like him that you just kind of think, okay, maybe next year, this is how this levels off. And you start to get that kind of middle ground production from some of these guys who have the resume to back up ideas like that. I don't think we're going to see another year where so many guys who had successful seasons at the plate last year just tank like they have this year. It has been surprising. Even Jonathan Schoch to a certain extent. You know, there's just so many different guys that have really bottomed out. And I mean, in terms of that, I think they just have to find a way, and we don't want to expect a lot, but to find what that middle ground is, I think that gets them part of the way there. And I think the unavoidable task is to supplement that with additional help and position player help, which I think we all know the Tigers need.
Yeah, I think we had a lot of guys have career years. We being the Tigers, me being a Tigers fan, Dan, and Dan Hasty, voice of the Tigers, high affiliate, the West Michigan Whitecaps, talking Tigers baseball on the Meyer guest line. When you look at Grossman, when you look at Haas, when you look at some of the players last year, in Akil Baddoo, they hit the jackpot on players who really are not ready for everyday Major League Baseball or part-time situational players, and that's the bridge here the rest of the way. That, you know, Clemens, he looks like a major league bat. Torkelson, even with his average, I still like his swings. Riley Green looks like a future all-star. Do you bring up Kreidler? Do you bring up more young guys? Because I'm going down the numbers, and you're looking at Candelario, you're looking at Haas, you're looking at Grossman, you're seeing guys, Dan, who aren't part of the future outside of being bench role players with the Tigers. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and I think what you do is, I think, like anything, you try to maximize the assets you do have. And I think we're going to go into, you know, the next month or so where the Major League Baseball trade deadline pops up. And for all of the struggles that the Tigers have had this year, and there have been many, there has been one thing that has stood out as a success, and that's the performance specifically of their bullpen. Their pitching staff has been good enough at points despite a lot of losses, but their bullpen has been probably the strength of this team, which is just weird to say that the Detroit Tigers' strength is a bullpen. But, I mean, you think about what Alex Lang and Michael Fulmer, and even to a point, Gregory Soto. I mean, I know we put him under a microscope because he's, you know, the guy who's supposed to get the last three outs. But there are multiple pitchers in that bullpen that will be attractive to major league teams that are contending for a playoff spot. They added more playoff teams, so more teams think they have an opportunity to make a run. So asset management tells us that relievers never go out of style. They are that neutral color that no matter what the season, people want to wear it. And so you find a way to spin as many of those guys as you can, because if you're going to build a contender, you need more bats. And they've shown that they can create value in their bullpen regardless of who's in there. So I think you take any valuable asset, you spin that off, you'll load up again. Now you have another influx of young talent, and you let Chris Sutter go to work again in 2023.
Yeah, I wonder with the excitement, and maybe, you know, not maybe, probably all of us had higher expectations than reality, but I will – What you said earlier and what I brought up, Dan, the injuries, you know, whether it's vertigo, his COVID, now the Achilles strain for Austin Meadows. When you look at the fact of your, you know, Spencer Turnbull, Casey Mize now with Tommy John surgery. I mean, Bo Brisky, those guys have been just Fiedo, you know, godsends. And that bullpen has been the most surprising thing in Major League Baseball maybe this year. So, you know, I'm not going to pin it on Hinch. I'm not going to, you know, Fetter has done an amazing job with the bullpen and the starters when healthy. But you took a big step back as an organization at the major league level. I know the minors are still humming. But Riley Green splashing. Clemens, I think, in his limited ABs in time has looked like a future major leaguer. I want to see more of those young guys the rest of the year, and nothing personal against Candelaria or Haas or Grossman or even Jonathan Scope. We're talking about guys below 200 or hovering around 200. I know you're Alavila. You invested some money and time in these players, but I think it's important to really see who are true future major leaguers in your minor league system the rest of this year.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, there's been talk about sending Spencer Torkelson to Toledo. I just don't know what that achieves. You know, regardless
Nothing.
Of what level he's been at in the minor leagues, whether it was high A, double A, triple A, every time he got to a new level, this is how he started. And by the time he left, he was leading his respective league in hitting. So, look, I think we can all agree that the hardest jump in anything in baseball is to be a triple A-er that goes up to the major leagues, or to be a double A. Let's be honest, Spencer Torkelson did not have a lot of time in triple A last year. So he's basically a double A player who's adjusting to the major league. That's tough. And he's going through that same learning curve that he had in West Michigan, that he had in Erie, that he had in Toledo during the short time he was there. This is the hardest one. And once he figures this one out, he's home free. It's just going to take longer because it's the hardest one to figure out. But he's too talented not to be able to figure this out. I do think he figures it out, and I do think by the time the season's over, we'll be really pointing a lot to what he did in the second half versus what he did to start the year.
Yeah, in my mind, 2023, Clemens, Torkelson, Green, obviously everyday major leaguers, and Bo Brisky, what a bulldog. Bulldog Brisky, and just really impressed with what Fetter does with the pitching, but it is a big step back. And now this next offseason, they'll have to add some veteran bats, but they just did with Baez. Rodriguez getting hurt. There's another injury. Again, Meadows, Rodriguez, two of your three biggest pickups this side of Baez, and Baez is hitting over 200 now, but at least he's starting to heat up. We'll see how it plays out. Dan Hasty, voice of the Tigers, high affiliate, talking Tigers baseball here on the Huge Show across Michigan. Dan, appreciate the time and enjoy the holiday weekend.
Absolutely. You too. Thanks, Bill.